welcome. I hope you had a good lunch. And just before we are kicking off the next talk, there is a short announcement. There will be a Parrot on OpenVMS both this evening at 6 p.m. in the Café Extrablatt. I guess it will be about Parrot and how to run it on OpenVMS, or how Parrot can support OpenVMS better. Yeah, and now I hand over the mic to Lars Dieckhoff.
Okay, ah, oh, good, okay. Okay, hello, hello. I'm Daxin from Vienna PM, and I'm going to talk about packaging basics. Don't expect to learn too much because it's a beginner track, and also because of the breadth of the topic, I can barely scrape at the surface. But before we start, get started, a job advertisement. My employer wants you to know that we have two open positions, namely for a software developer for Perl and web programming, the screen or web designer. So if you're interested, come chat with us. So, I'm going to talk about mostly about practical stuff, which is more suited to a workshop, but we can also learn about how to use the code to solve interesting problems. Okay, all of the stuff I'm going to tell about is mostly standard solutions that has been used for years, if not already decades, and you shouldn't deviate too much unless it doesn't do what you want, so don't take it too seriously. There's always more than one way to do it. Also, since we're talking about software which serves another software, you know, it has not a purpose for itself, but just, for example, installation or something like that, concentrate where you get the most out of your time. So don't take quality too serious. A quick hack that works is better than spending too much time on it. You can copy and paste examples. This is how all the people do it, so don't be afraid to do so. I'm assuming that you're going to run a modern Perl, so 5.10 is old stable meanwhile, out of support already, but you should have at least that, because a couple of various bugs exist in the 5.8 and even earlier versions. So try to run the most modern Perl that you can get. Okay. So I'm afraid I won't have time for questions at the end, depending how fast I can go. If you want to do something with the toolchain about installation stuff, packaging, come into the IRC channel toolchain or pick the appropriate mailing list so that more people can benefit from it. I'm also available later on the hallway. So, okay. Also, I want to point out some related talks. Tomorrow, Alberto will talk about module build and how to extend it autoconf style. And right after, JJ will also talk about dependencies. So this comes into the whole topic of, but I'm just going to talk about the aspects of packaging. Okay, the first problem. If I would have a penny for every time I have written a beginner's question like that, I would be a rich man. But actually, installing from your script at runtime does not work in the general case, so you can't do that. Namely, it's because of the privilege separation. The user or the role who runs the script most of the time is not the same role that installs the script. So you should not do it this way. You can't just put sudo cpan my dependency in your script and expect it to work everywhere. Instead, you must use an installer tool, and probably most of you have already seen how this works. You can open up any cpan distribution and have a look at the files, how this is solved, and I will introduce how to declare the dependencies, and then it gets taken care of automatically at install time. The most vulnerable is xtutils makemaker, and existing for a long, long time. So you load the module and it exports a function, which you give a number of parameters, which are all neatly documented. The important stuff is here. The dependencies are called prerequisites, and you can list the names and the version numbers. And a CPAN client will automatically follow the stuff. This is a lie. It's not quite the truth, but close enough. And install time, install these before your distribution is installed. And so you can be reasonably certain that when someone runs the distribution, all the dependencies will also be available. Okay. The replacement for xtutils makemaker is module build, and it has a slightly different API. This is object-based, so you instantiate a new thing, and in the constructor you can pass a number of parameters which are also later exposed on the object as accessors. And again, all of this is the meaning of this stuff is available in the documentation. We have the requirements, and by the way, these code examples are from real existing code from, you can have a look in my GitHub or Pause account and find the scripts again. Don't be shy to steal from it. And in the end, once the object is constructed, you call the method create build script, and then you have a build script, and then you can call the usual incantation build, build test, build install. And with xtutils makemaker, the write make file function will write out a make file, and you will call then make, make test, make install. The usual thing. Okay, and then we also have a popular module build, module install. Which has a different approach and also a different purpose. Namely, this is just a small wrapper around xtutils makemaker, but with a much simplified API, you're not supposed to be able to extend this. You usually use a module install for all the simple modules that just need to declare some dependencies and not do anything fancy stuff in the install step at the end. So again, requirements listed, and the build requirements which are used in the testing step, for example, or need to be even available before the module, before the makefile PL, which is the script, runs. The different approach is that you do not depend on module install when it is installed before, because this is not a core module. Instead, when you first run the makefile PL, which depends on module install, you get a copy that is bundled in the inc directory. Inc is for include. And when you bundle up your distribution to load it up to CPAN, to upload it to CPAN, a recent copy of module install is bundled in the distribution, and then at install time this gets run. So the user, the end user who uses your, wants to install your distribution, does not need his own copy. And since you cannot rely on the user to have a recent version of module install, you also need to release more frequently. I think the recommendation is on the order of a couple of months till about a year, so that old bugs in module install do not linger too much. So you can, as I said earlier, you can copy all this code from other distributions, or also use the module starter module, which comes with a small script, module dash starter. When you run it, you will get the skeleton with all the usual files which are appropriate for a distribution and raise your quality rankings, and you can copy paste your code into the skeleton and then have a nice working distribution for installing purposes. Okay, now which one to pick? The opinions differ of the experts. Schwerner is the maintainer of xtutils makemak, and he says, it's too old, don't use it anymore. Then the people who work and maintain what you build say, ah, that's too complicated, don't use that anymore. So that leaves us with module install, right? But that's also not a good idea because we won't get any updates anymore because mkdeny is not available anymore. By the way, chance to take over. And also, module install is not easily extendable for a beginner, since this is also just based for on xtutils maker, and you have to understand make and shell and all the other stuff instead of just writing Perl code. So my recommendation is, if you can't wait for a follow-up to module build to arrive, use module build now, because your Perl programmers, and eventually with the help of the debugger, you can find out which code paths and so are important, and it's not that complicated once you get the hang of it. This is also one purpose of my talk, to show you some code examples. Okay, next problem. Cpan always reinstalls the module. You tell cpan, paste a long series of dependencies in the command line, and you repeat it, and cpan fetches, tries to reinstall your module all the time. How does it come? Some of the modules and distributions do not have a version number, so this gets coerced to zero, and zero is smaller than what the actual version number is. So a client would always try to reinstall the module, and the solution is to give every module in the distribution a version number, and this is most practical if you if every module stays in step at the same version number, and also you give the distribution itself this version number. And my recommendation is, out of years of experience, that this scheme is the best, separated with one decimal dot, then a major version at the beginning, and exactly three digits afterwards. It must always be zero padded at the beginning and at the end. Now, how did I arrive at this conclusion? This is all fully compatible with all the style, all the advice that has been collected over the years. By the way, did you know that we have now strict version rules since 5.12? This is not something that is known too much. Also, two policies and Perl Critic have a say about how version numbers should look like, and the scheme I introduced in the slide before matches all these rules or all this advice. Also, it prevents some common problems. You probably have seen this before, because in Perl's versioning scheme, this is actually 1.900, and this is 1.100. This is clearly smaller than this one, even if someone would not expect it from just looking at it. And you can get rid of this problem by always specifying three digits, because one dot is separator for a thousandth of a version. Okay. Also, if you avoid version objects, you know, from version .pm, you avoid this ugly v prefix in the distro package name. Okay, next. Okay. So next problem. You have some files which you want to ship in your distro, like data files, geographical stuff, for instance. And one possibility is you put it in the lib directory relative to the library path which you're using. And then you use the special built-in token __file__, which returns the value, which is the string of the path of the current library file. And from there, you can use pump manipulation and go up a directory and then down there and arrive at the data file where you put it relative to your library path. But I don't like this solution too much, because you know, this is a pattern, and patterns are supposed to be bundled up in a library, and this has been done. namely FileShareDir. If you're using Xtutils MakeMaker, you should have FileShareDir install at configure time. And appropriately for the other tool installs. And at the runtime, when your program is running, you use FileShareDir to access the data files. This goes by default in the share directory of your distribution. You know, you have a bin directory, a lib directory, and something in the root. Just put it in the share directory, and by default, it will do the right thing. Good. Next problem. Okay, you want to diddle with a use lib path at compile time. For example, you have you have to rely on an external tool, and you can't have any influence about it, so you have to solve this problem a bit of at the Perl side. It's a real thing, a real problem I have solved for someone. And you can do this by rewriting the file while it is being installed. And to do this, we use just an additional module build step. Okay, the important stuff. We have an example program, binfubar. It loads the library libfubar. And for installation purposes, the module build PL file and a subclass, module build node. So, and the program looks like that, and this is the path we want to change. Okay. So now how looks the build PL file? Instead of module build itself, we're using a subclass, and this is in the FNOR PM file available from the inc path. But since this is a proper subclass, we just use the same API, create an instance. And eventually call the create build script, which I mentioned earlier. And the important stuff is this additional build step. It says we want to change something in the bin directory. And the installer, the module build subclass itself looks like that. We are inheriting from it and then overwrite the process bin files, which the step edit. And then just something hacky, make the blib directory where the file has just been copied, make it writable, then use Perl as a poor man's templating system and exchange uselib dummy with something else in the copied lib directory, and also print out for verbose purposes and actually call this Perl command. So, and then the library thing doesn't do anything, and now we're going to install it just in a temporary directory so we do not pollute our Perl with some dummy package, and going to install it. And now here's the print that was put in the install step. You will see that the dummy directory is now exchanged for the appropriate directory, and the files are going to be installed. And if we look in the blib directory where the file just has been copied, we will see that dummy has been exchanged by the proper path, and we are going to the installed path and run the program. It works as expected. So this is how you would work with module build. Next problem. How much time is left? 2 minutes, okay. Again, a module build recipe. You have files in the lib directory which do not have any file extension. Module build by default only processes files which have extensions, and it has some appropriate hooks already for PM files per libraries. And this is the reason why at build element, which I used in previous recipe, does not work. Because of the file extensions, but we can overwrite the already existing process lib files, and we do it like that. Again, use a subclass, and at the lib build element, even though it already exists as a process step, and then in the code, we are going to iterate over the lib directory, all the files. So the code which usually gets called to process the lib files is completely replaced by this one here. So, and then we're just copying the install step from the existing code, copy if modified, and this gets put in the lib directory. So instead of just processing PM files, we're going to process every file with this module. And that's it already, okay. Okay, just in time. Okay, the rest I have to skip, but it's not much. You can talk about this with me later. Thank you for your attention.